Good morning, welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Saturday, the 5th of September. Starting with the US, now the non-farm payrolls, the monthly employment reading has just been released in the US and it's looking quite positive. So there was 1.37 million new jobs added in August and the unemployment rate fell about 2%, down to 8.4%, so a big drop there. More than expected, and as a result, we're seeing the longer end of the yield curve steepen. So yields are at about 0.66% on the 10 years, which is up from 0.64. So a small increase, but certainly it does mean that people are expecting inflation going forward, and probably more healthier economy. It is interesting to see whether this will have an impact on the US dollar. The markets appear to have sort of looked over this and really looking at the tech correction. NASDAQ is melting down as I speak, down over 4% again today. Back here in Australia, we've had the Business Council of Australia, the BCA, the lobby group for the big end of town, file its pre-budget submission to the federal government, calling for a 20% investment allowance, which is very similar to what Labor actually had in their election mandate last federal election. And that is in order to drive what they call a permanent lift in business investment over the coming decade and help overcome the problem that we've got, 1.5 million jobs to regain to get us back to where we were before the COVID recession. They've also called for fast tracking of income tax relief, which is, as we know, being sort of seriously considered by the federal government, and also all levels of government to up their infrastructure spending. Now, what this sort of overlooks is the fact that, interest rates have been cut. So, typical business decision making, looks at the business case, the rate of return of what these new projects and new investments will get for businesses. So when you've got the denominator being so low in terms of the cost of capital and all that sort of stuff, it does really make you question, is a 20% sort of investment allowance going to really help these projects? If they were even marginally profitable at the moment, they in theory should be going ahead. So it just seems like it may overlook some other more pressing issues that are preventing businesses from investing. Obviously, these are the lobby groups that are there to vouch for that side of town. However, they're really it does seem to be very much just focused on tax relief, increasing profitability, which doesn't necessarily mean any more jobs will be created. And certainly, as we've seen in the last 10 years, the big end of town has really pushed more towards increasing dividend payout ratios, increasing share buybacks, and not really investing. And this may not be enough or really get to the source of the problem. Interestingly, we've had Jerome Powell in the last week mention the elasticity of sort of businesses to recover. He said he saw with the sort of end of the first wave in the US, there was a very rapid uptick in business activity. And we've also seen this week, Bloomberg's done a report on the National Federation of Independent Businesses in the US and found that already 33% of small businesses in the US are unable to fill positions, and that's back to where it was in March. So that's a really positive sign. There's also a reading that 21% of small firms in August were planning to create new jobs, which is the fourth straight increase there. So there is signs that maybe it could just be that businesses do recover a lot quicker. This isn't a financial crisis. This isn't a recession from the sort of classic sense, and maybe these sorts of things may not even be needed. Okay, more on taxes here in Australia. Now, the Australian is reporting the Parliamentary Budget Office has handed down a report that has found that the sort of tax take of the GST is declining, certainly as a portion of the total Australian economy. And they say that it's costing the government about $9 billion in tax revenue, and that will keep growing and will be up to $24 billion cumulative by the end of this decade. So why is that? There's a number of reasons. Some are more reported than others. Firstly, you've got the areas that are growing the quickest are typically the tax-free, the tax-exempt parts of the economy. So, for example, private education, no GST. Healthcare, no GST. What else? Fresh food, medical services, rent, financial services, all tax-free. So these are the areas that have been growing much faster. And what they point out is that spending on the GST-free parts of, you know, people's spending has doubled since the GST was introduced. However, the things that do attract GST have only increased by 1.5 times. So you've got that sort of demographic or, you know, behavioural shift of which the GST is not collecting. In addition to that, you've got the portion of household spending as a part of the economy actually shrinking as well. So the mining boom and all that investment there has really increased their take in the economy. So yeah, household income's a smaller part. And on to funds management here in Australia. We've got Tom Waterhouse, the founder of Tom Waterhouse's betting house, and which he subsequently sold to William Hill. He's announced his intentions to launch a fund investing primarily in gambling companies. So the Waterhouse VC Wholesale Gambling Investment Fund is open for investors who put in a minimum of $100,000, and it's almost completely focused on buying gambling or wagering services stocks listed on the ASX or around the world. Now he's asking a fairly hefty management fee, 2% fee, and then a 20% performance fee above the, you know, over the high water mark, a typical sort of hedge fund style fee structure. It's certainly quite high for the Australian market, which is renowned around the world for having very low fee expectations. So he states that his family's experience, reputation, and capital give it access to deals in the market that a normal fund manager would not appreciate or have access to. Tom Waterhouse will be a cornerstone investor in the fund, and to this end, investors will be putting money into deals that Tom is going into and at the same rate. Now, he hasn't mentioned sort of the intended size or the seed capital or anything like that. However, the portfolio, which is already in existence, holds about 10 to 12 stocks, so very concentrated, and three account for about 60% of the portfolio. So yeah, I'm not sure whether they've really looked at the risk metrics here, but it's sounding very high risk. Now, he says that $100,000 invested since the inception, which was in August last year, would now be worth $322,000. So more than triple, that was to the end of July. So yeah, tripling in a year. So interesting there, certainly a impressive prior track record, but almost certainly wouldn't be able to be sustained. And certainly with that, it's a very high concentration. It's a super high conviction product and something that investors would really, you know, need to look at in a responsible manner. Moving to the markets now, it's looking even worse in the US than it was at the start of this report. The some of the big tech names are down about 10% over the last two trading days, and it's not looking good for us here in Australia. It'll be down again on Monday, almost certainly. And here we've got the AIG Services Index coming out Monday morning, and also the ANZ job advertisements reading. So that is your update for Saturday. Have a great weekend and see you next week.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.